turning slightly inside its boot when I stepped onto the sand. Familiar faces dotted the beach, Astors and Cushings and Galettes and Browns, and many other families I had often reported on when I worked as a society journalist for the Newport Observer. Today, however, I would not be reporting. I was here merely as a niece, though if one wished to be thoroughly accurate, I was a cousin, on my father's side, about thrice removed from the present Vanderbilts, our only common ancestor being the Commodore himself. Still, with mutual fondness, they had adopted me into their summer circle many years ago. We took a hard right on the sand as the footmen carried Uncle Cornelius to the west and most desirable section of the beach, farther away from that narrow strip at the east end which no one owned, accessible from the cliff walk for those hardy enough to climb down from the rocks. Stirred by the motion and the breeze, the large front wheels of the chair rotated aimlessly, while Uncle Cornelius himself bobbed slightly from side to side with each step. As we passed friends of the family, they greeted Uncle Cornelius and Aunt Alice with brief pleasantries, which my uncle acknowledged with feeble nods and tremulous attempts to smile. It did my heart good to see him being afforded the respect he deserved, while his acquaintances carefully schooled the pity from their expressions. He was by no means the only invalid on the beach today, nor was Aunt Alice alone in her faith in the healthful properties of the sea air. But to see a formidable man like Cornelius Vanderbilt brought to such a state surely left many of today's beachgoers unsettled. We trekked several tens of yards, until we came alongside the bathhouse leased each season by the family. One of the footmen had procured a rake and had run ahead of us to smooth away any bumps and rocks in the sand that might detract from Uncle Cornelius's comfort. Yet another stood waiting with an umbrella, and as soon as the two carrying the chair set that venerable ailing man down, a circular patch of shade was carefully positioned around him. After a blanket had been spread over the sand, Gladys sank in front of her father's knees and reached to hold his hand. "How is that, Father? Are you comfortable? Isn't the sea lovely today?" She glanced over her shoulder to admire the deep blues and froth-edged eddies of the Atlantic, and turned back, smiling. "I've brought our book. Would you like me to read to you while you enjoy the view?" He gave a nod, but no verbal answer. Gladys hadn't expected one. None of us did, for Uncle Cornelius had never fully recovered after that awful day in the summer of 96, when he and Neely had their dreadful row, and Uncle Cornelius had collapsed in a stroke of apoplexy. There had been smaller strokes since, leaving him incapacitated. Still, his gaze found his daughters, brightened and brimmed with affectionate emotions, and then narrowed ever so slightly in a smile his lips could not quite form. Gladys, still holding his hand, raised up on her knees and kissed his cheek, and as she pulled away, she whispered, "Thank you, Father." I understood her gratitude, for it seemed to all of us that although Cornelius Vanderbilt's strength had waned, his legs no longer worked, and his mind had become trapped behind a silenced tongue, he somehow still had the power to let us know he valued us, and that we were important to him. He had not forgotten to tell Gladys how beautiful he found her. One of the footmen produced her book and handed it to her, while the others went into the bathhouse and brought out folding wood and canvas chairs. Gladys settled in close to her father and began to read, while her mother sat at his other side and studied the other beachgoers. "Good heavens," Aunt Alice suddenly said with a harumph. "Is that Lucy Clewes I see splashing about in the waves, in a bathing costume?" Seated beside her, I raised my hand to my hat brim to further shield my eyes and glanced out over the water. Among the group of women bobbing in the waves, I recognized the dark-haired Mrs. Clewes, wife of New York financier Henry Clewes. "Yes, Aunt Alice, I'm afraid it is." Aunt Alice had never gotten over her shock at the bathing ensembles women wore these days, albeit the woolen blouses, knee-length skirts, bloomers, and stockings covered